Right, let me just get that song a sec. Put that by there, make that awkward. Have you got a capo? Please. Lovely, thank you. No thanks, I'm going to pluck. Cheers. If I can see. I got these new glasses on again, and I can't see a thing with them. There we go. I just got to look down a bit. This is a song I actually learned when I first met Fiona many years ago now. And it's about, as Reese just said in his prayer, building the church. And at this time as well, in my mind, I'm saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I wasn't expecting the youngsters to be in, which is fine. And I still trust that God is going to say something. So I'll sing this and see what God does. Do you feel like I do? One day we will see the glory of Jesus shining out through you and through me. Then maybe this world will see that Jesus is true. When the love that he spoke of is binding me to you, for he's building his church together forever, building his church to stand through the weather, shining out the love of Jesus Christ. Reaching out and touching people, building hope, not building steeples, giving life to all who need. Then maybe one day we'll move with him as one, bringing to this nation the good news of his son. And maybe we'll walk together hand in hand, moving across the country preaching the kingdom of God is at hand, for he's building his church together forever, building his church to stand through the weather, shining out the love of Jesus Christ. Reaching out, touching people, building hope, not building steeples, giving life to all who need. Reaching out and touching people, building hope, not building steeples, giving life to all who okay, I got that, I don't need that. Let's just have a look at John 14. Because this is a part of my heart, I mean, and hopefully yours too. When I'm out speaking to people, and they want to know the truth, and it's often difficult to tell people the truth, particularly when they're older than you, and they seem a lot more experienced, and for me, I know you'll find yourself in a different context, when I'm out with the cross, and they've had built into their lives the same thing year after year, I mean, for all their life. And I'm going to tell them, yeah, that's wrong, that is. That's not true. I mean, that could be a catastrophe within itself, couldn't it? But if I'm walking to them and say, look, this is what I believe, and God is telling us this, and you can move from the foundation that you've been built on through your life onto a new foundation. And that's exactly what happened to me. Because whatever is put into a man stays in a man. It doesn't just disappear. And that's one of the false beliefs that the beginning of my faith was built on. Which side of the Pentecostals on this? I'm not sure what side. I've got to check first. Because I was involved with a Pentecostal church that told me, yeah, everything's brand new, everything is gone, everything is going to be fine from now on. And it was wrong. Everything was not fine. In fact, it was the total opposite. Everything was a blooming nightmare. Because I'd been built one way, and now I was seeing another way. It wasn't easy to go from one foundation to the other foundation, the foundation of Christ, from the life that I'd always known. And yet we meet people every day who have their foundation built on everything else other than Christ, other than the answer, other than the way. And somehow we have to tell them in love. The Bible says, you know, when you're going to meet people, witness to them in a loving, caring way. Don't start ridiculing them, pointing at them, you're on your way to hell. It doesn't wash. We're to love them. Ephesians 2 says, to draw unto him, not to push him away. It's not easy to do that. When we're meeting people that do not believe in God, that do not need God. Now, we can choose to be honest with people on the way that they live their life. And one illustration, there's just out there yesterday morning when I came with a minibus to take the youth up to Swansea, my brother-in-law and my sister were out there. And my sister's got arthritis now, and you can see just by looking at her hands, she's got it. And my brother-in-law has given up work. He hasn't been honest. He's never been happy in the job, if I can say that. But I said to him, now this is truth. Now you might totally disagree with this. I said, well, the truth there, Lynn, that's his name, Lyndon, is that in your position, you're better off not working. You'll get a lot more help from the government if you're not working. That's the truth. That doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't work, because that would be a rebellion unto God. Because we're called to work. But in their position, she's now disabled, he has to shower her. Truth says you're better off not working and looking after her, which is what he's doing. And he's very happy not working as well. And the smile came on his face when I said that, actually. But you shall know the truth. Where's that? John chapter 8, verse 32 and verse 36. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, that's like a double meaning. Because we know that Jesus Christ is the truth. They're building everywhere in the world, believing it's the truth. You see these superstars, what are you building on stardom? Do you know what really winds me up? Is that with programs like Britain's Got Talent, it sends a signal. Life is all about signals. You're sending signals off to me now. I'm sending signals off to you, and you might not even realize you're doing it. Just by the way that you're looking at me, you're sending me signals. Life is about signals. Britain's Got Talent sends a signal of this. Well, it doesn't matter whether you're a successful doctor, whether you're a driving instructor, policeman. You're not successful unless you're a superstar. That when you come and stand on the spot and we make you somebody, that's success when you're on the telly. It's mind-boggling to me. You see these doctors that are saving lives and working with people day in, day out, hour after, working, you know, 13, 16-hour days. And you hear the superstar saying, oh, well, I've worked hard to get where I am today. Goodness me. You know, if I could get in that TV, I'd slap him in the head and tell him to wake up. It winds me up. Because that is not. So it could be, but in general, it is not success. The truth is, success lies on Christ. When our foundation is being built on Jesus Christ,
then you might become a TV celebrity. But the foundation is on Christ. I was trying to think of somebody. Who was that you mentioned to me a while ago? Some guy stood up in the awards, and he was a star. But he didn't say nothing about the award that he just got. Who was it?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, there we are. He didn't say anything about his award, first of all. He started thanking Jesus that he got his award. Thank God that I'm here. Thank Jesus that he saved me. I'm telling you, people, he is the answer. You knew that man was saved because stardom didn't come before the foundation of Christ. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. So when we're meeting people, the first question is, well, what are you putting your trust in? Well, I'm not putting my trust in anything. And you often get that. No, you are. I know, this is what I would say, I know that in there somewhere, in there, you are building the foundation on something. Your trust is in something. Your life is built on something. What is it? There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have not told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I'm going to come and get you so that you'll always be where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? They don't know the way. They don't know the way. And because they don't know the way, because no one's telling them, they're going the wrong way. So when we come along and we say, well, we can see the way that you're going, but this is the right way, what foundation are we going to give to them to say, well, no, this is the right way? Well, 2,000 years ago, and you've heard me say this, 2,000 years ago, we've got evidence that a man called Jesus walked this earth. There's evidence of that. We also have in our records that that man called Jesus was crucified for claiming to be the Son of God. We got that in our records. In Rome, it's there. Your choice is whether you choose to believe that that man Jesus died on that cross, which many witnessed, but 3 days after he rose again, and hundreds saw him. And 12 died because of it. Sorry, 11 died. Thomas wanted, he didn't die. He escaped the wrath of death, if you like. Verse 6, Jesus told him, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way. There is no other way. Oh, Allah, not the way. Becoming a star, not the way. Mother Teresa, not the way. I'm going to become a saint. I've been knighted by the Queen. Not the way. I am the way. There's one way. You can come and buy whatever way you want to. But you're not buying your way in. You're not working your way in. It's by faith alone in Christ that you can come one way. I never said that. No one else has ever said that. These are the words of Jesus himself. I am the way. Well, why is he the way then? Why can't I get in? I'm not a bad person. You know, I've been helping people. I've gone abroad and helped people. I've traveled over there 16 times by lorry, taken to the needy in the third world countries. Why am I going to get there? Well, because you didn't come to Jesus. Because it's all good. Anything good is from God. Because you didn't come to Jesus and say, I am a sinner. I have gone my own way and done my own thing. So it's great that you've gone there and you've done those good things, but that's because of you. The work that I do is because of Christ. It's all laid on that foundation. I don't deserve anything, really. Because I have rebelled against God and gone my own way. But when I saw that Jesus was the only way, my foundation changed. And I turned to him. I am the truth. There's lots of things in this world that seem to be the truth. They all look right. But he is the truth. You can't get there without knowing the truth. Now, the double, I don't know, the double, whatever that other word is that I can't think of at the moment, what I mean is knowing the truth about yourself. It was interesting, actually, when we went to pick Abby and Will up from their honeymoon, we went on to Gatwick on Friday. When he got in the car, his first words, he went, oh, mate, I can't believe it. I didn't know what he was going to come up with. I said, what's that? He said, I've learned so much just in a couple of weeks. I said, like what? He said, no, about myself. I didn't realize how selfish I was. No, we all could have told him that, couldn't we? He said, I didn't realize how selfish I was. But just spending time, because you get to know each other, a person different when you're living with them. But he didn't know. I don't know whether Abby sat there, yeah, you this, you that, I don't know. But he realized, but it's the same for me. And my answer to him was, well, Will, welcome to the program. Because it's a lifelong thing. It's lifelong. It's amazing. You just keep seeing, well, why didn't I see that before? Suddenly, you begin to change and you see the truth about yourself. And I like somebody said once that, I can't remember, his name is Max Lucado, said that the Lord will not show us all our sin at once because we couldn't cope with it. He shows us a bit at a time. And with that illustration, when I was doing a youth once, I wrote in highlight, in what do they call it, in high vis, if you like, sin. And turned the lights off and said that Jesus wouldn't show you all of that because we couldn't cope with it. Isn't it awful when we realize that we've gone the wrong way? When we chose, as Christians, to build our foundation on something else. And afterwards, we look back and we think, goodness me, I didn't even realize I was. And somehow, we have to get back to the foundation of Christ. He is the truth, and I am the life. This is something for me, that I am the life, because I look back, and one of my greatest struggles is myself. It really is, my mind, you know, on a daily basis. I couldn't just say just yesterday, because it's every day, the struggle of my mind. It thinks things, and I think, why? Why can't I just think good things? The Bible says, you know, think good thoughts, keep your mind on good thoughts. Well, what a battle it is to keep it on good thoughts. It really is a war. I don't want to think the things that I do think. And when I think them, I think, no, I don't want to think that. I don't want to think that. Because I want my foundation to be built on the truth of Christ. When people of the world don't have the truth to fall back on, I mean, I don't know, what are they falling back on to? I just don't know how they cope, how they're living without having the truth. Because since I have known this life of Christ, I have, even though with all my faults and failures, life itself has changed. Even when I fall, it's changed. Now, you might have heard me tell this story before, but because I mentioned Britain's Got Talent, I thought I'd better tell you this story. It's going back to about, you've heard it, haven't you, Pete? He's smirking. Because I've been on Britain's Got Talent in front of Amanda Holden, Piers Morgan, and who's the other guy? Simon Cowell. I would have forgotten. And Simon Cowell. But what happened was, Fiona and I were watching Britain's Got Talent. We were big fans of then, not so big now. And there was this guy on there, and he was absolute rubbish. He was tripe. And I said to Fiona, if he gets through, I'm going to apply to go on Britain's Got Talent. What Fiona didn't know was years before, probably about at that time, 15 years before, I was in Layhill Prison. Unfortunately, I was working for the Queen at that time. yeah. I worked for about 3.5 years. They tried to get me to work for 6, but good behavior got me off. So, but I was in pantomime. And the lady, she Margaret, the name was, she actually got Leslie Grantham, you know, his
starred, if you like, on TV because he was in prison for murder. I think he died last year or the year before. But anyway, when we were doing it, I was wishy-washy. And there was this actor who, from Willow. That's years. It was quite a big film in his time, Willow. He was there. And at the end, he asked to see me. Now, in all honesty, I had the audience in stitches right the way through. They told me that I was a good Jerry Lewis, if you know what Jerry Lewis is like, from the old days. He was a good comedian. But anyway, I went forward and he said, "Do you know who I am?" And I said, "Yes, I do," because we were told that he was coming. And he said, "Let me tell you something. You've got it." That's really important to listen to that. You've got it. Because he planted something. He planted a seed, and it was the wrong seed. I didn't know then, but it was the wrong seed. He said, "You can make it. You can become something." Now, with my insecurities in life, and what stardom does, I mean, you speak to most youngsters, they'll want to become a star. That's what it is. Or, "I want to be a superstar." Or, "I want to be a great singer." That's what it'll be. Don't say, "Oh, I want to be a servant of the Lord Most High. I want to serve him." It's just not going to happen, right? But they planted something. So going back to Britain's Got Talent, now I want this to come to life because it's been planted. So without Fiona knowing, I'm on my way to Britain's Got Talent, and I thought, well, I'm a good comedian then, ain't I? 9 years later, this is. I'm back in life. I'm a crap comedian. Serious. Even Abby, I said to Abby, "I was going on this." She said, "But you're not funny, Dad." That's what she said. But she was right, because as a natural, Clive, I know I can say some funny things and the wrong things most of the time. But I just wasn't funny. So I got there, and it wasn't in front of Simon Cowell and those. First of all, it's just in front of a camera, and probably the director. And I went. I dressed up a Freddie Mercury yellow coat. You know the suit he wears, the white trousers with the red stripes. And I'm walking through town like this because I'm going to be a comedian. So I get there, and they stand me in front of the camera, and I tell a couple of jokes. And I thought a couple of good jokes. I won't tell you them, but a couple of good jokes. And they phoned me back a couple of weeks later and said, "We'd like you to come back." And I thought, "Whoa, I must be good. Oh, or am I? Or am I going to be one of those ones that they make a fool out of by, you know, making me something I'm not?" So I went back, and straight away I saw the cameras were up there. And I knew they were looking at me. They were waiting for those that come in, right, to get you. And they got me, and then they took me outside. They were filming me, and they were telling me what to say, what not to say, what jokes to say, what jokes not to say. And I thought, hang on, they're telling me to tell all the rubbish jokes, the good ones. And I worked out that they weren't interested in me for the better. They were interested in making a fool out of me, and suddenly things changed. Then they took me inside, and I'm stood by Anton Deck. And Deck turned around to me and said, "No, don't forget I got white trousers on." He said, "How's it looking?" I said, "How are they looking?" He said, "Well, they're still white." I said, "It's looking good." But that's what I said. And then he said, "You're on in 5, 4, 3, and I was on. I was standing on the spot in front of Piers Morgan, Amanda Holden, and Simon Cowell. I was off in 3 seconds. It didn't take them 3 seconds to press those buzzers, but their comments after, my goodness, you don't see it all on the TV. In America, they've actually had one that had committed suicide. People were coming off the stage crying, and Amanda Holden was brutal. Brutal. My goodness. Don't scorn a woman, the Bible says, and I can see why. But when I walked out of the Millennium Stadium, I literally did this. I went, "Why didn't you just tell me?" Now, I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was like a loud voice pressed in on me. And it said, "Because you wouldn't have listened." And I said verbally, "You're right." It took me months to get over that, because I was building the foundation in the wrong place. Now, here's the key, is whatever's been built in has to be built out. At the start of your conversion, by the norm, and in general, it isn't just thrown away. God will take you through things one at a time to deal with them so that you know that they're gone, dealt with. Even we know that that's right anyway and true, because our foundation is to be built on Christ alone and no one else. Let me finish with whatever this blue ribbon, purple ribbon is going to take me. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we align if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. So when we're meeting people and we have an opportunity, we don't point fingers and drag them down. We love them. We care about them. We draw them near by the light, as we just read, that we're shining out for Christ. We are lights for Christ. And we can call people out of darkness by being a light for Christ. Something just came to mind that I thought. Of course, strange that happened, but sometimes God brings people into your life. And there are people you grow to love and care for. And they become a part of you. In such a way that we are a part of God, that God could not let us go. And this was the thought I just had as Sean's birthday today. This would be Abby's ex-boyfriend. Nice fella, really nice fella, but didn't know the Lord. And I know that all of the family still pray for Sean, just because they're not a couple anymore. Doesn't take away how much God cares for Sean. And as Christians, we still love Sean. And if I'm right, I don't know if I'm right, but even Will and Abby have prayed for Sean, because he's a person, because he's not on his way to heaven at this time. His foundation is built in the wrong place, but he's a lovely person. They're the people that we have to I sent a text this morning to Sean saying happy birthday and hope all goes well, and I'm working towards meeting him for a cup of tea. Because we want to draw people to God, that they build their foundation on Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth. You are the truth. Your word is the truth. And Father, no other foundation can get us to you. You are the one that has made the way by paying the price on the cross. You are the one that has justified us. You are the one that drew us to yourself. And our prayer, Lord, is that those that we meet in this life, regardless of who they are, if they're not saved, help us, Lord, be lights to them. Help us, Lord, be your example and be Jesus to them. In Jesus' name, amen.